Yeah, I've just picked up the scanned photos. The only thing they didn't do was the second side of the Alcatraz photo. This says Alcatraz 1619. Alcatraz Island lies in San Francisco Bay, known as the Rock. It was formerly a United States Army disciplinary barracks. In 1933, it was made a federal penitentiary to house incorrigibles from other prisons. And this is marked from San Francisco, September, looks like 2nd. Would be 1959, or I just cannot, 1958, I can't read it. Hi, Sandy, comma, her cousin, and suddenly me decided to take the train to San Francisco for a few days. We will only see the city, but we'll try to go to museums and as many other interesting places as we can in a short time. I will see you at school. I hope to visit OCC before I start classes. Lee. And it's addressed to Pham Swan An Dormitory, Orange Coast College, Costa Mesa, California. And...
all the people at North Carolina like him very much.
Oh yes, I know that. Yeah, I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to go to North Carolina. Because you're weak, and because you're not feeling well, I don't want to ask you too much, but there are one or two things in here that this book, many things that you have told me in the last 3 years are very close to things in this book of fiction in here.
Fiction, yeah.
It's fiction, but a lot of the things you say are true, but it's disguised as fiction, you know, that is. And there's one very, very funny part where, I think it's right here. I come back to, there's many things that I want to
say. They set up a trap to trap him, correct?
Right, that's one of them. But the one with I have it marked here. Now, for example, you told me this story. I'll just tell you. In late 1960, I had the rare opportunity to come into possession of a training plan from the advisory and command group directed by General Lionel McGaw. It was first published on November 15, 1960. The title was Strategies and Techniques in Counterinsurgency Warfare. I stayed awake for two nights reading it. Now, I don't want to talk to you about this because I know all this. You told me all this, I write it already, but that's not fiction, that's true, you know? But then here's my question though. You needed to figure out a way, you say in this book of fiction, you had to figure out a way that you could get this report to Cosvin, to get it to somebody. You had to get it to your superiors. So then he tells the story about how you go to the plantation. Is that right? And that's a true story also, right? Yes.
That's who I own plantation.
Right. But you, here's my, I don't understand, which is, and I understand going to the plantation and you have the meeting.
That's just fiction.
The meeting is fiction?
The other one is a mission.
The meeting where the guy says to you, you say you're an expert in rubber, your friend works in rubber,
no,
that's fiction?
That is usually the man who runs the plantation, he put it in.
Okay. Yeah. Now...
But I come here and I gave it to only one person. He's a member of the Cosman too.
But what about Miss Ba? How come you didn't just give it to your courier?
I had no liaison yet.
Oh, you had no liaison yet. Okay, all right.
It was another lady who took me in to see one of the Cosman Rangers, and he was my friend.
Okay, so you gave it to your friend. And so then, when you're at the plantation and you meet Niece Ba, that's not the same Ba.
No.
Right, okay. Okay, all right.
That's different Ba.
But it is interesting that the story about Moy being captured, your superior, Moy, M-U-O-I, Moy, M-U, brother, M-U-O-I. Your fault, your superior. You're the person who you were born.
Yeah, Moy Hong.
Moy Hong.
Moy Hong.
That's true. Yes.
He shot a citizen here. After the Geneva Agreement was signed, he sent back a tower. He's a man of a Junction and then ultimate.
Right.
The first time he came to the tower.
Now, here's one story that early in 1961, I was speaking, this is about Quan, which is you. Early in 1961, I was speaking with Colonel Edward Geary Lansdale, the hero of the Philippines, and he's telling you about a lot of, Lansdale's assistant, I happened to mention, some days later during a meeting with Rufus Phillips, Lansdale's assistant, I happened to mention that Tran Chan Tan had asked me to go to Bencott and do an article on the living conditions in that area.
No, not Dr. Tian. Actually, it was Dr. Tian.
Dr. Tian?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, okay.
He changed the name.
There are meadowlands there, I said, perfect for cattle or animals and husbandry, but no one is taking proper advantage. And then Rufus Phillips said, don't you know that we helped your government start a dairy farm there, Phillips said, Australian cows? Rufus Phillips said, Quan, don't you know we helped your government start a dairy farm there?
That's right.
Phillips said, Australian cows. When I asked him, meaning when you asked Rufus Phillips, which American company was in charge of the project, he said it was under an Australian businessman, Mr. Author. Who had run some dairy business in Saigon. His name is Mr. Author.
A-R-T-H-E-R.
Right. So then you said. But then, this is the important.
Hero.
Right. But here's my big question. Next, you say, it's in quotes, that is, you say, after Rufus Phillips told you this, and told you who Mr. Author was, but tell me if this is true.
Did he just say that kind
of thing? He didn't say it?
No.
Looks, someone else did.
Someone else did.
So.
But they were looking the way he could when he was captured. He was kidnapped by the guerrilla of Bencott. So it was Peter Smack who told me the story.
Right, but.
Because he was Australian.
Right.
And then the Australian embassy were in charge of. By the Australian government to do their best to bail this man out. That's why they know that he was a hero of the Royal Air Force during the war.
But here's my question, though. That's good, and I'm going to put that in. Okay, forget Rufus Phillips. But then you say, after Smart told you this, in this book of fiction, Win Kai says that you said, Quan.
What?
Quan. Well, that's your name in the book. Your name in the book is Quan.
Yeah.
Quan. I sent a message, meaning you sent a message to Ba Wei, B-A and then H-U-E, informing her about this American dairy farm run by an Australian. She would observe Author's activities every day, and I do a background check on him from my sources in Saigon. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. And I got all the information from the Australian embassy.
Okay.
Because we were having them to finally the cause of the kidnapping. And after that I found it, I went there, I talked to the man, the minister of the guy, Suman. I talked to Suman about the man. But please don't
know.
And he said that this man kidnapped Arthur.
Okay.
So I came back, I said, oh, I learned from my own source that he was kidnapped by the guerrilla in Mankat for stationery in his chest, not for his career.
For stationery?
Yeah, like a typewriter and a carbon paper, ink, all this kind of thing. And a cashier man to get that kind of thing. So that's why the Australian had to send people to Japan and Hong Kong to buy all this kind of thing to give them to be released.
And then Bob Chaplin...
one of the men in Dubita, after that worked for Mr. Rao. He worked for Douglas Pike.
Okay.
After that, and then after that he worked for Yu Xian. The UBI.
Interesting. Now, Doug Pike is in this book also. Douglas Pike is mentioned in here. As Douglas Pike is mentioned
because
in here.
Because of the story.
Yeah.
The story
But they say in this book, they say that you say that, not you, but the fictional character says Doug Pike was a CIA agent. I don't know. You think that? I don't think so. You know?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say that anyway.
After it was the world who told me.
Yeah. Is this true? 2 years before, 2 years before the Paris Peace Agreement was signed, an American professor, Jerry Hickey, and his colleague, Brian Jenkins, of the RAND Corporation, asked Kwan, you, to help them accomplish two tasks, to do an evaluation of the state of the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, and the second was to introduce Hickey to staff officers who could help formulate a plan to reform the armed forces.
It was,
what will the armies do?
The special force captain. He was an expert about counter-terrorism man.
Jenkins was? Jenkins? Who was the expert?
Brian Jenkins. His name is Brian Jenkins.
Oh, in the book it's Jenkins. J-E-N-K-I-N-S.
J-E-N-K-I-N-S.
Yeah, okay. He was an expert on counterintelligence.
Oh, he's number one. He knows that. That's why even the report by Weinberger.
Yeah.
To President
Reagan.
Reagan, first one, over 30 pages. You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, about the terrorism.
Right.
One terrorism. Over 30 pages. I remember well. And that copy was written to the Vietnamese by the Russians. And then they asked me to translate it.
And Jenkins was quoted in there? Jenkins wrote that report? Or did Jenkins have anything to do with that? Jenkins?
He didn't mention his name. But the Russians knew about that.
Interesting.
But he's very important. He's very good in planning everything. He's been working for the, I think, RAND Corporation.
I go look him up then. Now, this book says, Hickey wrote a report for the Pentagon that was called What Will the Armies Do? And he dedicated it to you. Is that true?
Yeah. Oh. I introduced him to work with the headquarters here. And they have him to work out about this plan. And then the plan to be carried out after the signing agreement. Because according to the Vietnamization of the war, you know, he had to reform all the three armies, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia. Because they would cut the aid, you know it.
Yes, you've talked to me about that a lot. So this is the plan that you always say to me, if only President Tu would listen to this plan, Hickey's plan, would have worked, right? Hickey's plan for...
He has many plans.
Yeah.
Even one plan to end the war here in 1976.
71.
No, before that. He went to not after. 66. After the coup. He proposed that to set up a kind of a concord government
right.
To negotiate with the other. to end the war, because he found out that very difficult for the Southerners to be independent. But the Vietnamese side, they kept on fighting each other all the time. Impossible. He mentioned it in his book.
It's in his book, yes, it is, yes.
He gave that document about his figure, Foreign Cooperation.
He's very smart, Jerry Hickey.
Oh, he's very smart.
Oh, you know, I didn't bring his book with me. Next time I give you his book.
Right.
Yeah. It's a novel. It's like this. It's a fiction, but characters based in reality.
I like him very much.
He likes you very much.
Yeah. We come very often to get coffee, etc. So I introduce him and his friend, like a Brian Jenkins, to important people in the army to have him to work with.
Yesterday, I went
but
to Bob.
They don't know anything about it until the guy published this kind of thing.
Yesterday, I went to Bob Chaplin's room, 407, in the Continental. But it has been changed. The room has changed now. You know.
They changed everything very bad.
You know, and two small beds, a big table, different. You know. But
it was one big bed.
No, this was two small beds, and they have a wall dividing the room, and different. Because it used to be a big room.
But made by the French.
Yes.
Long time ago.
Yeah. So
Kitty told me about that.
So I went in there and decided not to stay because it had been changed too much.
Changed completely. No terrace.
Right. No terrace. That's right. Yeah.
But there is some property book. He lived there and continued his friend. He is a coffee customer. His mother is American.
Yeah. I'm getting that book translated right now for me, so I will read it. Now, this is interesting here. This is about, you told me about this, but I want to make sure the facts are right in this. After the American B-52 bombings against Hanoi, after the American bombing of Hanoi in 1972, a stringer named An, that's what it says here, a stringer named An contacted a number of foreign correspondents based in Saigon and told them they had been invited to come to a special area in Long Khan to meet with a representative of the National Liberation Front. That's true, right? No?
No.
Well,
I didn't invite them to go to this.
No, you didn't do it, but someone did it.
They used a man to track the correspondent.
Right, the correspondents included Max Franklin of the Weekly Observer, Jean-Claude Pomonti of Le Monde, Ronald...
Both they didn't go.
All right.
He was poisoned by the man who organized that one. He's a kind of worked for all kind of people. And he worked for the Vietnamese, he worked for the VC, and he worked for the German, he worked for the French too.
Okay.
He set up the trap. But the trap was order, according to my understanding, myself, friend, etc., they informed me several months before that trap was set up. That's why Mr. Stanley Crowd was very mad at me when I did not write the story.
But that's in here. But
I don't know where it is here or not.
He kept screaming in my face. His name here is David, who is the head of the media. Why?
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's
a pirate. He'll know
this,
isn't it? Right. That's how could Teddy
Crowder? Now, he says also, Ronald Moreau of Newsweek, and Lemin.
Lemin is the photographer.
The photographer, right. And then, at the time, Kwan's cover, that's you, your cover, was working as a foreign news agency. And you were looking forward to going to the meeting. That's not true. Yeah,
right.
I know.
What I mentioned, I intended to do it. But I checked with my friend. He said, look, I told you that once. This is a trap. Don't go. That's why I didn't go. So Mr. Clark ordered Mr. Lehman to go.
And your friend was with the NL. Your friend was with the NL. Your friend was someone who was on was with the VC, right?
No. He worked against the VC. He's an intelligence officer.
So he knew it was a trap. Okay.
He knew the trap. He had represented of that trap. In order to trap the American and not to give it a good opportunity for the government to criticize the American government like they did in the case of CBS guy, Ron Rader.
Yes, okay.
Oh, the other guy. To make them look ridiculous, because many of them criticize the government.
Okay.
Unfortunately, both in Germany died.
A coup d'etat in the jungle is what Lehman called
right,
it.
That's
yeah.
Right.
All right. As for me, Quan said.
I have a copy here someplace. The original one.
The original Lehman?
No.
Oh.
The one that man. That guy, after that he stayed on here, he gave that report to the Vietnamese intelligence.
Okay.
They don't know. In French. In French.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked me whether it's true or not. And then I checked with Love first. Said, is it correct that you gave this one to the Vietnamese intelligence here after the war? He said, yes, because I was ordered to go to it. So I said, all right. So I translated and I found out exactly what Jean-Claude wrote about. He gave to Jean-Claude. Jean-Claude was not in that meeting. But all observers and all the people know about that. But they are not right. No one touched that one. That story coordinated with the FBIS, who monitor, who had a code over the North Vietnamese radio communication, and they invent the story, and they put into that code for the FBIS to monitor and let the press read it. As the Associated Press read it, and then, so it coincided with what happened in the jungle that now took them there.
Okay, now I understand that.
He was sentenced to death by the VC in Nha Trang. That's why he did not stay in Nha Trang, he came to the south. Left, yeah.
And you told everyone that you were sick at the time, otherwise I would have had to go to the jungle with you. Is that
what?
True? They say that you said, as for me, I became known as a cunning fox, sitting back in Saigon knowing the whole thing was a dirty trick. Only I didn't want too much to be made of it since I might be asked how I knew the meeting was a setup, who my source was. So I just said, well, I was sick at the time. If I hadn't been sick, I would have been out there in the jungle with the rest of you. Is that true?
I don't understand.
You told your friends who went.
To go there.
Yeah. The ones who went there, you told them the reason you didn't go.
I didn't go.
Was that you were sick.
So they come and, yeah,
right.
I'm sick.
Right.
I cannot read my thoughts.
Sure, exactly. That's what, exactly.
So they went. But they found out that, you know, the American journalists are very smart and they observe too. Jean-Paul Monty was not there. He was in the army or something and they gave the copy of it to him.
Is this true that you had a parrot, and you had a parrot once? You had a parrot,
yeah.
And you taught it to sing a song about President Diem.
Oh, not a parrot, a minor.
A minor.
Minor, not a parrot.
They say parrot. Okay.
Minor. Yeah, he's very young minor. He talked a lot.
Who is your father? And the parrot would say, long live President No.
Yeah, I always say long live President because they have that famous song in honor of the leader. You know, for Diem.
But if Diem had heard this, he would have cut your head off, right?
No. Long live Diem.
Yeah. That's the personal thing.
Now live the leader.
Yeah.
I intended to, I thought in that way, not to sell to the Vietnamese minister who is a kind of a psychopath. Mr. Hill. So he would sell it, give it to him as a gift. But the miner, you know, consider you a real leader of the country. Ngô Tổng thống Muôn Năm, President Ngô, President Ngô, long live President Ngô, long live President Ngô. That's what he thought in Vietnamese.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the coup d'etat, or everybody insulted him, that damn miner every day thought, long live President Ngô, long live President Ngô. Oh, God. Because my, and also, I could have sold him before because of my young brother who came from Canada to see me, and he said to that miner, talk, and he asked the miner, where are your father? I mean, me. And the miner learned that word, and then when my first young brother and then I heard that word, I said, look at that, damn it, how can I sell? Long live President Ngô, where is your father? Because his father was killed by the communists already. You make him mad, so I couldn't sell it. And then the coup happened already. He continues many times, long live President Ngô, long live President Ngô.
The President Ngô's dead.
Dead already. So I was so afraid of the neighbor, etc., who criticized me over too pro. But I know I worked for the very close to GM, etc. And I believe that I work for the CIA, so that's why I'm very afraid. That's why I asked Julie Dodano and then make arrangement for me to live in the house because that. And then after that, and then I taught him to speak English. Good morning, how are you? Good morning, how are you? So when he remembered nothing, I saw him at the street with the money. I bought a pair of my car. You know, two pair of, how do you call it, run, the car had four
wheels.
Yeah, two wheels, brand new.
So you sold the bird for two wheels. Okay.
Good deal.
So one American saw, oh, good morning, how are you? Hey, he bought it. Because the man who sold it to me, for me, you know, he said, all right, I really sold it. Good price.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't put the bird and make birds do. I'm glad you didn't cook the bird. Okay, that story was good there. Now, you just mentioned the psychopant, Mr. Yu.
He is a very, very good one. Oh, he's minister of youth. And he was ambassador in Cambodia. That's why he looked insulted him over working for CIA, etc. So that's why he decided to retire.
Yeah.
Because the incident along the border.
You know, I never asked you, did you think it was a bad, back in 19, when Diem first came to power, I've never asked you this, but I talked to Nguyen Thai about it. When Diem first came to power, and after he consolidated everything, and he beheaded Bako, yeah. That was a big mistake, right? A big mistake?
Yeah. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it?
Actually, he didn't do it. You know who maneuver? Mr. Nas.
Well,
No, the communists did.
Well, I think maybe...
They trapped him in back. You know,
yeah.
They push the Prime Minister
to do it.
To invite him back. To invite him back. Because he already agreed to come back and cooperate with him. He was in France.
Right, he was trapped. Right.
And then he came back and he was trapped. But not to kill. You know? But he was sent to the military court. The man he was the president of the military court in the V.C.
Right, Win Tai.
He's the brother of Win Sen Tang, Win Sen Tang still live in the U.S.
Okay, let me tell you, Win Tai told me this whole story. So, even though you just said that was between you and me, he told me that the guy who did the court trial was a communist. So,
that's right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. After that, the guy revenged himself very much. He almost killed himself. He should not do it. He was so stupid to listen because he very patriotic. That's why he joined the German. But on this side, the French didn't know. And then when the American arrived, they didn't know. He's the president of the military court. And then during the trial, he decided to execute me. Because the communists put pressure on that. And that's why he was executed.
Right. Okay. Now...
So, and then, because his young brother, which I'm talking, is still in the U.S. And then the man mentioned that to his wife and his brother. He almost intended, he repented all the time. His conscience could not be, because he had good heart too. But he was so patriotic that he was so stupid. He should not order the execution.
Right. Now, Win Tai...
I put a blame on him.
Win Tai told me that, and he also told me that the big mistake Ziem made was that, and also three things. The heading, personal, the way they rigged the elect, the Bao Zai referendum, and
that's
the way
right. That's important.
Right.
And he rigged the constitutional assembly elect the deputy to the constitutional assembly.
Right.
Those who work for the American, like Dr. Dang, etc., you know, worked for the American long time ago, worked for American CIA, the medical doctor Greenway in Spain, Hong Kong. All of them were wiped out. And then he took the measure against all, he outlawed everybody, including Diviet, but many Diviet worked for the Americans. They were created by the Japanese, Kapitai, Komatsu. You read the book by Mr. Buizim, you know what?
Right. I have that book. Now, Win Tai also told me that Ziem's other big mistake was the murder of General Tay.
That's another one, too.
Nu is the one. Win Tai says that Nu ordered his murder, and that he says in his book, that is not published yet, Win Tai, in his book, says that you told him that you said it was Colonel Long. L-O-N-G.
At that time he was captain and he was promoted major and worked at the presidential palace.
And you knew him because you had administered the English examination. He was supposed to go to the United
States. He was desired by the government.
Right.
To ask land their people, Rabbi Colonel
George Melvin,
to give him the authorization go to Leavenworth.
Right, but he failed.
Yeah, with the EU, etc.
But he failed
the test. He was so weak, he couldn't talk either. But the man who said to me, that he's a Caudaist general, and another Caudaist, son of the Caudaist cardinal. And then they have a good friend of Dalton Long. So they told it to me. But he said, don't write about that.
I won't write about that. Right, I'll write Win Tai.
Win Tai asked me, the reason is this, because they are afraid that they might trap more in Ziem, and they put the man away the murder, the Caudaist
Charles IFT is murdered.
Didn't they?
Oh, yes, Colonel Tate.
Yeah. Then they made a vow and worked for him and to support Zeb.
Right.
Yeah. But Zeb knew, afraid that if the American trap this man, maybe they put Demonstrate in power like a Magsaysay. That is the reason why when he was sure of it,
right. That's what Win Tai thinks also, that exactly.
Win Tai is one of the 10 enemies brought back
right.
The rather by the
yeah.
Other.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why he was very young.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't want to be minister. So he said they got prison. But he is a man of a morning gun from Central Vietnam. All important figures working for Diem and you come from Gun. Because he owned the spot, he know all of that, he know the character, etc. Even the private secretary of President Diem, recruited by you too.
Yeah, there's a...
Morning Gun.
Right, Khan the staff, this is the page. He lived alone, took care of his mother and the no brothers,
that's right.
And
youngest son. I went to see him on the beach, etc. Rarely he gave any, you know, guest to come to that place.
This is the Monty story over there. Why was this book? This book was written in the early 1980s. This
the
book
reason
written,
it is,
why did they do this? Yeah.
By order, this is the Department of Political Department of the Army.
Yes.
They order all the writer of that department, the high-ranking officer and
yeah.
Big writer, to write those who are very good in intelligence. See? Like that's why Nha, the other hero, some of our own kind of thing, they should write about that to make it, they imitate the Russian, you know. Russian wrote a very good story about that, they call it, Tass had the right to make the statement.
Tass had
the right to make the statement.
Tass had the right to make a statement. Okay.
A statement, declaration.
Yes.
So, they highly, you know, praise the good intelligence officer.
Okay.
So that's why they would order to conduct all the highly decorated in order to write a story about them, but on fiction. On fiction, yet?
Yes.
And they did it.
And this was about 1983, maybe 84. It was before Des Moines, so early 1980s.
That's right.
Well, after people read this, did anyone call you up and say, "Ah, this is you"? Did anyone say it's you?
No. There is no
idea. That's very interesting. And is.
But the other one is good, so that's why they make film and say they like the Lord of Nha and the other.
Well, Miss Lan yesterday, she says to me, "You should read a book by Win Kai." And I said, Miss Lan told me, you need to
That book was in Vietnamese.
Right. Well, so I said I was reading it.
Because the Miss Kai wrote the story based on that one too.
Right.
And he's also Win Kai. Really.
Now there's, you also discussed Lu Konin in here, Lu Konin. You liked Lu, you.
Oh, I know him, he was with them there before.
Right.
Since 1954. He's a man who left behind now many Asians, including a friend of mine.
He left behind?
In Hanoi, the Asian
worker. Yes.
For the CIA. And then Ivian, Harvey, and QED, and he's very good about that.
Did you know about the plans that Lansdale and Konin were doing about sending Did they talk to you, or did you know, or did you pick up from intelligence their plans to send South Vietnamese
yeah,
north?
Yeah, is it in North Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew that?
Because they're so damn superstitious. And he's the man who taught the Vietnamese how to plan rumor. I learned it from him, how to plan rumor.
But when these, when the commander...
You invent a story, and you look at some place to invent it, to start it, and to check after 1 week, that story go from that place to which province, which area, etc.
But when the plan in 1954, and then later,
yeah.
to send commandos, South Vietnamese commandos, to the north.
That's right, Not a special force, the special force.
Right.
Yeah.
Vietnamese. Yeah. Did you know about that?
I know now that because they had the control of Thiet. It was the Chinese who helped Thiet and then the
right.
Raymond de Jager.
Yes.
With the father, Mille Lacroix, and then Father Jacques too.
Did you, Father Jacques, this is not the Father Jacques, is this the same Father Jacques that was doing
the IVS.
The IVS in Niagara Falls, in Buffalo?
No, in IVC.
Right, okay. Now,
and thanks to that one, yeah, we sent his student to Buffalo.
Right, yeah.
I went there with
him. Right, you went to visit them, yes.
Yeah. On the way to UN and to see Mr. Busy Friend Minister.
Right.
After that, I stayed there toward the end. I came late, but that thing. What is it? With the Stanley, the Sacramento Bay. So right. I stayed with them, etc. And one man, one friend of mine, who became priest. I didn't know about that. I forgot a man. And then the student liked me very much. Father, he called him out. Please be careful now and listen to him. He will teach you to do wrong things. He very turbulent when he was at school. So
that's funny.
Yeah, so and I came say, hey, why you say that? I was joking, that's all. I do not push your, you know, man to do wrong thing. That's all. I was joking, that's all. Telling all kind of story about women and girls, etc.
Always joking, yeah. Now, did you ever?
So these people invent first Vietnamese voluntary service, and that one, the Americans use it. They call it IVS, International Voluntary Service. That is the predecessor organization of the Peace Corps.
Right, that I know. Now, did you ever? When you learned, because you were working for Dr. Tien, when you learned about the South Vietnamese commandos going north, did you report that to the jungle also?
No.
You stay away.
They lost the report very easily.
Okay.
Or captured by the courier very easily. And then you finish.
So you stayed away from that? You just stayed away.
Away from this kind of
that was not your, you were doing strategic intelligence, right, yeah.
This kind of thing is classified as pure, they call it traditional spy.
Why do you think that all of Dr. Tien's commandos were captured and caught? How come 30,000 North Vietnamese, how come 30,000 VC agents could infiltrate, 30,000 VC could infiltrate South Vietnam?
20,000.
But no South Vietnamese can infiltrate North Vietnam. Why? Why?
They could not because you have to. They have the communists in North Vietnam. They have the communists like Chinese. All of them are over organized.
Much more organized.
How much? No one can be independent. They control all of them.
Okay.
From the boys, a child was born, newly born. Old man who is going to die. So they control all that.
So when
and the power should go to the party, own power. And to be joined the party, they check very carefully. They touch all the time.
Okay.
That's why the government you send infantry men into the communist organization. But they still can do it. They still can do it. You see, I could do it. I'm sure of it. So I talk to some of them I know about that.
Now, in my book I have I write that after Nixon went to China, you had to stop, you had to change your modus operandi because there were so many Chinese agents operating in South Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
That is, so you didn't use film anymore, is that right? Or what did you stop doing?
This, when I checked with one of the leader of North Vietnam about the people that intelligent people that they all report and then particular documents. And then when you go to give it to the Korean people, the crew and KGB, I said no. How about Chinese? They said, yes, we have to do it. Because they have the right to check even the biography of the officer from Lutheran up.
Okay.
So they require anything report from South Vietnam about intelligence, they should submit one copy to them.
To the Chinese?
To the Chinese. So I was so damn afraid.
This was only after Nixon went to China, or just the whole war?
After